Hey everyone, before this episode begins, I wanted to let you know that this episode was recorded at two different points in time. Me and my buddy Super Smack, who is the guest on this episode, we recorded this initially back in the spring, but due to some issues, which we kind of go over a little bit in the episode, we couldn't release it, so we had to come back and re-record some stuff just a couple weeks ago. So if you hear any contradictions in the stuff we're talking about, or it's stuff referencing things from earlier this year, or if you hear any differences in sound quality, that is the reason why. So with that out of the way, enjoy the episode. On this episode of Still Loading, Neon Blue. Hello everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Coble, and today on the show, we are trying something a little bit different. Today on the podcast, I have a returning guest, my friend Smack, Super Smack. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, what's up? I'm doing good. It's good to be back on Still Loading.
Thank you for coming back on. You were actually, like I think I said when I interviewed you back in November, you were one of the first music artists that ever reached out to me just to like connect, not even to collaborate, just at the start. So yeah. I'm happy we're able to do this again. And today I've brought you back on for a unique experience. And first off, thank you so much for agreeing to do this, because what we are doing today, folks, is that we are going to listen. We're going to do a music showcase of Smack's new album, Neon Blue, or EP, Neon excuse Blue, me. His new. So this is your follow-up to Neon Red, which came out, 2019, 2018? I forget.
2019. It was right before I went on my first tour.
September 2019. And I loved Neon Red. I listened to it legit a lot. And so far, I have listened to all of this, and I plan on listening to it again because I love the samples that you took, or I love the video game inspirations that you kind of have for some of these. It's subtle, a lot of these, which I like. Mm-hmm. What would you say before we get into the meat and potatoes and whatnot, the whole full course meal of this?
Yeah.
What would you say is the biggest difference creatively for you between Neon Blue and Neon Red?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I'll take a step back real quick. So I've been making music as Super Smack since 2018, early 2019, and I am a hip hop and pop music artist, but I've been diversifying my sound more and more over the years. Mm-hmm. And video games are a huge influence on me. They're not my only influence. I have a lot of other influences in my music, but I grew up on video games. And a lot of like other artists, you hear them, especially in their early works, they're always talking about like their hometowns, right? Like their, like where they grew up, you know, Jay-Z in Brooklyn, Kanye, Chicago, mm-hmm. right? Nas in Queens, like all these artists who I really respect and love, right? For me, I grew up in kind of like a sort of nondescript suburban neighborhood.
Me too.
Outside of Phoenix, Arizona. So when I think about like the neighborhood I grew up in, was like my Super Nintendo. You know, like that's the world I grew up in. So those are some of my biggest influences. So when the Switch came out, that kind of just like re-energized my interest in video games and video game music. And so I was inspired by the colors of the Joy-Con which were so like bright, and these like vivid shades of like red and blue. I'm big into like colors. I'm like, mm-hmm. colors and music kind of associate colors and sound. And I immediately had this like vision for a two-part album, or like a double EP that would like come together and become this album. And I thought, like, I personally think of myself as like, I have kind of different modes and different moods. Some mm-hmm. people are like really extroverted all the time. Some people are really introverted all the time. For me, I'm like a bit of both. So I thought it would be cool to take those and kind of like split those into a double EP. So Neon Red is like, this is like my bright sunny day, driving down to the beach, mm-hmm. with your windows down, you know, like wind blowing in your hair, like blasting some tunes, like talking with your buds, like that's Neon Red. It's like a party, upbeat, high energy experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Neon Blue is different. Neon Blue explores kind of like my more introverted side. And for me, introverted doesn't necessarily mean quiet, because my mind is like thinking stuff all the time. Like I've always been like a daydreamer as a kid. Like I have trouble like focusing in class because I'm always like thinking about probably video games or video games I would want, video games I wanted to make or something like that, you know. Like I think a lot of video game fans are kind of like that, actually. You have like really active imaginations, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was Neon Blue. I wanted to explore like all the stuff that I just daydream about, you know, all the different like crazy worlds. And I also wanted to like slow things down a little bit, which worked out really nicely because there's so many amazing like lo-fi producers nowadays.
Lo-fi is really big, especially in the video game remix scene.
It's blowing up. It's crazy. And it's great. A lot of the music is really great. And so I've been able to connect with a couple of really cool producers there and work with them on this EP. So, you know, some people would call the EP like a lo-fi hip hop EP, which I wouldn't argue with. I think some of the stuff kind of trends between like lo-fi hip hop to like R&B to like indie pop.
I would even say the one track, we'll get to it, is a little bit like a musical. Like it's got a bit of like, I could totally see it. Like this is a song in a musical.
Yeah.
You might know which one I'm talking about too. We'll get to it. That makes sense. I mean that I totally got that vibe from Neon Blue when I listened to it. Like it is much more mellow than Neon Red. And what you're talking about, you're kind of the dichotomy within yourself between extroverted and introverted. A lot of times being extroverted or introverted, is just where you get your energy from, right? So introverts generally get their energy. You can be an extroverted introvert. I kind of classify myself as that, where I don't get my energy from large groups. So like introverted people get your energy from being by yourself or being with people that you're very close to and intimate, not like romantically intimate, but like in intimate situations and conversations, or you just like hanging out with your best friend or hanging out with your partner or, you know, what have you, or just by yourself
Yeah.
This is a completely weird tangent. There's a podcast I love called James Bonding, and the one episode, the one host, Matt Gourley, talks about self-romance, and he doesn't mean it in a gross way. Yeah. He means it where it's like, you wouldn't just take yourself out to a nice dinner, go see a movie by yourself, or like, he talks about joking, like he'll go to Venice just to take a gondola ride by himself.
Why not?
He's like, and then he's like, how can you love someone else before you love yourself? You got to romance yourself. You got to win yourself over. And I thought that was the most adorable way of like mental self-help of like, you got to romance yourself. Like if you're not happy with yourself, you got to like, if you were trying to flirt with yourself, what would you do to win you over? Start doing that for yourself. I thought that was an adorable mindset to get into. And I kind of started implementing it in small bits in my life as much as I can.
I am 100% down with that. Yeah. And that is, that kind of energy is the intimate energy, being comfortable in kind of the slower moments. That is what I aimed to get at with Neon Blue. So, you know, I talked about driving down to the beach, that's Neon Red, but like Neon Blue is like, you're driving home at night, you know, maybe the roads are quiet, there's no traffic, the stars are out, you know, or you're taking a walk and like it's sunrise and you're taking a walk, or you're like at home and you're studying, you know, some study beats going, or like you want to do some creative free writing and just like journaling, or you're just like doing some, I don't know, cleaning around the house or so, or it's a pandemic and you can't go anywhere. Like,
that's and you just need something to relax. Yeah. I literally, when you described it as like driving down a highway at night, you know, like 2 a.m. or something like that. Yep. And all you hear is the sound of the tires on the road. No other cars on. Oh my gosh. I almost fell asleep in a good way.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It was just so relaxing. You're right though. But yeah. So like Neon Blue, man, I was really excited when you told me you were going to work on it. I think you talked about it back when we first chatted the first time you were on, back in November or October or whatever.
Yeah, I've been working on this project for a long time.
So I'm glad to see that it's finally out. This is coming out We are recording this before release, but it's coming out a couple days after the release of Neon Blue, which was released on April 13th. So, yeah, everyone who's listening to this, if you like what you hear, and I think you will, if you like what you hear, go check out Neon Blue. And where can everyone find it? I know we'll repeat the plugs at the end, but just to kind of get it right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah. So Neon Blue is going to be available streaming on every platform where you can possibly listen to music. So if you're a Spotify person, it's going to be on Spotify. Just search for Super Smack. That's me. And you'll find me. Give me a follow and you'll be able to see all my music, including Neon Blue right there at the top. YouTube, Apple Music, Bandcamp for people who like to buy music. It's going to be on every platform. Another good way to just like stay in touch with me, the social platform that I'm most active on is Instagram. Also Facebook, those two. I don't do Twitter or Twitch or any others.
Honestly, you're better off with not being on Twitter sometimes. Like what we were talking about off mic.
Yeah. So you can connect with me at Super Smack Raps on Instagram or Facebook, and I have all my music links up there too. So whichever way you want to find me, those are all good ways.
Awesome. So like I said at the beginning, this is a music showcase episode, which means we're actually going to be playing every track from his new EP, and then we're going to be discussing each track after it's played and just kind of dive into your head and see what you were thinking when you're writing it. What are some of your influences for it? What vibes you were going for each song? Like I said, off mic, I'll try to mix up the questions. So I'm not just asking, what was your influences for this song? And then we listen to the next one. What was your influences for this song? I'll try to mix it up as best I can. But without further ado, we're going to dive into the first track right now. Yeah.
There's only five tracks, so I'm pretty sure we can keep it fresh.
Yeah, I know. All right, so let's dive into this first track here. The first track for Neon Blue is The Summoner. And without further ado, let's dive in. The Summoner.
Smack me quick, smack me tripping over his old bum ankle. Nonetheless, he gets up anyway, dissecting angles where he can jump back a double Dutch candle. Yeah, he walks the city, but it's not like the other song. Fresh kicks and headphones, a playlist he rap along. No tough days this week, just beats to choose from. Praise the East River bringing that new sun. Boards a ferry to the borough that he calls home. By shoe puff or airship, he goes on his own. But he don't feel alone, he's got so many guardians guarding his pilgrimage, holy the throne. On mad apps, on madmen and mademoiselles. On the far plane, a black maid, she cast most spells. Praise poets could win Nobels, even though knows the Grim Reaper ring no bells. Whoa. I collect friends like aeons and badges, tokens of temples where I've earned access. Spheres on the grid, we spin the axis. I'm a summoner storming the palace. I collect friends like aeons and badges, tokens of temples where I've earned access. Spheres on the grid, we spin the axis. I'm a summoner storming the palace. Why do I write? Why do I fight? Battles with bosses who just won't die. When the moment comes and the limit breaks, will the heartaches and mistakes have been worth it? Were it any other way, there'd be more of us. Chorus as wide as an ocean stretched far. But the hymn of the faithful is a painful one. Someone once told me that was art. See, I'm an island kid of the island kin. Not be saved, but one just like it. And my ancestors sailed seas on a breeze the gods gave him, and God saved him. God said, let there be heaven. Don't call it Yevon, call it the ones who journey with you. They call it your party, cause you can cry on them if you want to. You can rely on them, cause you got to. You can die with them, call the phoenix down, and rise back too. Someone's gotta be in sin for good. Someone's gotta let them be in sin for good. Someone's gotta be good. So we summon the good, we summon the good. Someone's gotta be in sin for good. Someone's gotta let the beat sing for good. Someone's gotta be good. So we summon the good, we summon the good. I collect friends like aeons and badges, tokens of temples where I've earned access. Spheres on the grid, we spin the axis. I'm a summoner storming the palace. I collect friends like aeons and badges, tokens of temples where I've earned access. Spheres on the grid, we spin the axis. I'm a summoner storming the palace.
So that was The Summoner by Super Smack. Let me tell you, man, like this song is
fantastic. I love the Final Fantasy X vibes on this. Like it's sampling Besaid, right?
Besaid, yeah. It's one of like the deeper cut songs from that. But anyone who is a fan of Final Fantasy, especially Final Fantasy X, and when they hear the sample, it's like people tell, like, I performed this song live. Even though this is the first time it's being released in any sort of recorded form, I've performed this song live a couple of times. It's just like an early preview. Mm-hmm. And there have been people in the audience who just like have told me that they feel like immediately transported to like this island, fantastical island of like Besaid and just like those vibes.
I remember when I first had you on the podcast last year, you talked about Final 10 being one of your favorites because it's one of the only Final Fantasies, even though it's from a Japanese developer, it's one of the only Final Fantasies to be set in an Asian specific region or like Asian influenced region.
Yeah, specifically Southeast Asian. So like there have been elements of other Final Fantasy stories that are inspired by obviously European fantasy lore, as well as some Final Fantasy stories that are also, you know, influenced by Japanese mythology and Japanese lore. That's more of like the East Asian. Mm-hmm. But for like Southeast Asian settings, so in the real world, in like our IRL, this would be like the Philippines, which is my homeland, Thailand, right? Like Indonesia, like mm-hmm. all the countries and nations in that region, a lot of which are island countries, like they're archipelagos or like peninsular countries. That setting, like the kind of tropical setting, I thought was so cool that they used that as an inspiration for Final Fantasy X's story. And obviously Final Fantasy X is not meant to take place in one of those IRL countries.
Yeah,
it takes
yeah.
inspiration from that, and it has elements of European and Japanese lore mixed in there as well. But there's definitely that huge influence in there. And for me, especially, it's like my family grew up on like a country that has islands that look exactly like Besaid, you know. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I've always loved Final Fantasy X, not just for the setting. I think the story is top notch. It's such I think perfect mastery of like storytelling, and the pacing is so good. It's the first Final Fantasy that I beat. A lot of people say like your first Final Fantasy is whichever one you beat first. And for me that was 10, and that's definitely been the case. I love that. And when I wrote this song, so kind of backing up, this is Neon Blue, right? And it's a sequel to my first EP, Neon Red. And Neon Red ended with a track called Everybody Got Game.
Mm-hmm.
And that track was about finding community and peers and friends in other artists and other musicians. So it's basically about, I have a line in there that's like, my favorite rappers are my friends. And
yeah,
that's definitely the case. And I thought it would be really interesting to start off Neon Blue with a song that, in terms of tone, couldn't sound any more different from Everybody Got Game. Because Everybody Got Game is this like hype party track. Like when I perform it live, people are like pumping their fists in the air, and it's like a crazy time, and I'm going crazy on stage. And then The Summoner is so chill, but the theme and the message, there's like a very clear through line between the songs, because The Summoner is about companionship.
Mm-hmm.
I always love JRPG stories, because one of my favorite things about JRPGs is like assembling your party, right? Like by the end of the game, your party is like, that's like this like ride or die group of characters.
It's
like
the Fast and Furious universe of that game.
Right, right. And it's like, you have like your squad, right? And everyone has their powers, but like everybody knows how to work together, especially by the end of the game, right? And I always really liked that because I, in real life, I don't know, I always like being part of a team. Obviously, Super Smack is, I am a solo artist, but in my work, I work with producers, I work with sound engineers, I work with choreographers, directors for my music videos. Like there's like my vocal collaborators. There's so many people who I work with. And then there's also all of the people who support my music, whether it's other artists or other fans, my friends and family. I feel very connected to other people. And so I always love that part about JRPGs where it's like a team of like the good guys, like going up against all odds.
Yeah.
And I think there's this connection from everybody at game directly to the summoner that I hope that people will catch when they're listening to Neon Red and Neon Blue. That's
it. I mean, it's right in that one lyric where your friends are a party that you can cry at. Like you're making a play on, you know, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to, but you're literally saying your friends are your party. Once again, referencing the RPG party, the party of characters that you're going through the game with, but then also literally kind of, it's like a multi-layer reference at this at one point. Your RPG party, it's your party. You can cry if you want to. Your friends are that party that you're crying at.
Yeah,
you can,
that's true.
It's like all laying on top of each other. Was that actually intentional or did I just like unlock something?
Yeah. I think you got it. There is definitely a lot of that intention in there. Definitely some of those references and the layers.
I was going to say, and you also, like you said, you sampled Besaid Island, which is, you know, like we talked about before, it's a lot of this game's world is based off the South Pacific, right? South Pacific, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Southeast Asia, yep.
Southeast Asia, I will say that. Let me correct
that. Yeah, and the South Pacific as well, like the kind of, they blend together.
And you have a line in the track that literally says, "What I am a kid of the island kin," right?
Kid of the island kin, not Besaid, but that's one what just it is. Like it.
Yeah, it really feels like this whole thing. You each stanza or verse, or whatever, is like you referencing a different important aspect of your, like an important relationship aspect of your life. One part is your heritage / family. The other part is your friends who have become family. And the whole song kind of, someone's got to beat sin for good, is almost basically just conquering life, I guess. I don't know. Am I reading that? Like, it's like you taking your family and friends on this journey so that way you can all conquer life together.
Yeah. It's whatever the sin, and I think in that sense is like, whatever your challenge is, right? If it's a particular cause that you believe in, or if it's just like a goal that you have, you know, it can be a very personal goal. That adventure that you go on to achieving that goal is going to involve and impact and touch other people. And I think that's where it feels like this JRPG style quest, you know? Something that I've realized on Neon Blue that I pretty much didn't do at all on Neon Red. Neon Red is very, it's very grounded. And if you just read the lyrics to Neon Red, it would read like a personal statement. It's like, I am this. This is who I am. It's very direct.
Kind of like how Run DMC writes their lyrics. They're very like, straightforward, yeah, like, with it, right?
This is who I am.
Yeah,
this
you're
is
what I it's very for. Declarative. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. And Neon Blue, I get those messages across, I think. I was aiming to get some of the same messages across, but the form of storytelling is very different. It's much more, Neon Blue is much more narrative. There's long stretches of, you know, like half of this song for the summoner, I'm talking about myself in the third person, right? Mm. Like the first line is, smack me nimble, smack me quick. Smack me tripping over his old bum ankle, which is we were talking about my
talking about that off mic. There. Yeah, I was listening to him like, well, that's coincidental.
Yeah, and this is like, it almost feels like I'm like, I wanted to write like my own story and imagine Super Smack, not IRL, but in this world, in this like Final Fantasy X type of world where I am the summoner and I have my group of guardians and my party. And so I think that's something that you'll see in the other tracks as well, as we get into them. But it's like kind of having this like stepping outside myself and like writing a story where I'm a character in this different world, this like more fantastical setting.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit less IRL than Neon Red for sure. Yeah. Just like, I don't know, stretching the imagination.
I getcha. Well, the next song is very obvious. It's obvious to video game fans. The next track is called The Fairy Fountain. So obviously that's a Zelda reference.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for this one because you released this one a little bit early on YouTube for everyone to hear. Yep. So, yeah, without further ado, let's dive into The Fairy Fountain.
Sees it glowing, the distance it beckons. The school bell's ringing, but the kid doesn't listen. He's stepping to the source of the light. What a sight! There's a cave at the foot of this mountain. Breathes deep, walks in, and lo, behold, a fountain. Fairies floating like butterflies. A harp plays a familiar reprise. And from the water, a goddess arises. She starts speaking, she laughs at him. She said, "Play your wounds in to my fountain. His friend's party, he left it early. Couldn't risk the company of those whom he care about. If he doesn't keep them out, they're gonna worry. Truth is, he ain't been feeling right, feeling like himself since the one that he really liked left him on the shelf. It's been hell, it's been hell. He needs help, but he won't tell. Just then in the distance, a soft light that's so familiar. Over there on the roof of the high rise, a glowing pillar. He sneaks the lobby elevator to the top and he hopes what awaits by some grace. Please let this be that magic place. Fairies floating like butterflies. A harp plays a familiar reprise. And from the water a goddess arise. She said, "It's good to see you again, kid. Play your wounds in to my fountain.
That was The Fairy Fountain by Super Smack featuring Smooth for Life. Mm-hmm. So this track, what stood out to me is what kind of like what you were talking about at the beginning of the episode about how a lot of this was talking about like daydreaming and a lot of it was using a kid's imagination, like, you know, video, like you were saying, video games spark imagination for kids a lot of times. And the opening part of this is talking about a kid at school who discovers a fairy fountain.
Yeah.
Is that, and am I correct with that? Or am I putting thoughts into your head here?
You got it. You got it.
All right.
Yeah.
So it did, is it kind of like, maybe I'm reading more into this, but it seemed like the Fairy Fountain was, I'm assuming this kid is you, I would assume.
Yeah.
And was the Fairy Fountain your respite? Was the Fairy Fountain your respite from bullying?
That's right. Got it.
Oh my God. I feel like a genius. No. Yeah,
you're two for two, man.
So what kind of like, are there any specific memories? If that's too personal, by all means, you don't have to go into it, but it seems like a lot of this comes from a very, like the first one, like you said, it's about you moving away from New York. So this one very much feels like you trying to survive in like junior high or elementary school or middle school or something.
Yeah. This is very much like an elementary school kind of memory. And it was one of those memories that like, I kind of forgot about. I did get bullied a lot as a kid. And that's something that I didn't really talk about growing up. Cause I was like, okay, well, I'm not getting bullied anymore. And I'm like, I feel a lot more, you know, life is good now. I feel a lot more confident about stuff. So, it's not a memory that I like constantly was thinking about, but, sometime, when I heard this beat from Smooth for Life, who's another amazing artist, may have their own, work on available on Spotify and YouTube and everywhere, great video game remixes. I had this like flashback moment. I've heard the phrase, the Ratatouille flashback.
Have you
heard
that? Yeah.
Like in Ratatouille when they like take a bite out of something and they like have this like flashback moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay.
A memory that they forgot about.
Like a bite out of this beat. And that's what you had. That's the exactly. flashback you had.
Exactly. Okay. I had this flashback and I was like, oh shit. Like, I got bullied as a kid. And that was hard. And that was like a rough time. This was like early elementary school, like first and second grade and stuff. And, I remember how looking back on it now, I can see how important like video games and like fantasy sci-fi stories were in order to like have an escape from that like harsh kind of like reality at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about Zelda and Ocarina of Time and Link, and particularly these fairy fountains that he finds, and like the fact that what do the fairies do? They heal you. They give you powers. They like reaffirm that you are on the right track and you are on the right journey. And I just thought like, man, that's like a cool kind of like narrative that I have in my head about this kid who's getting bullied, but like just like Link does when he's just like wandering around Death Mountain or whatever, like stumbles into this like magical place and receives like, he just like hears exactly what he needs to hear from and from these like magical beings who like, yeah, tell him and give him what he needs in that moment. And that's kind of the starting point for the song.
I feel like that's a universal thing among kids of like, hopefully not bullying. Cause obviously, I mean, it happens to a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. Happened to me. But it was like, the idea though, that of kind of falling into another world of like you kind of stumble upon this crazy magical place. So like the idea of you discovering a fairy fountain that like was super, I can't think of another word to describe it, but like whimsical, but it kind of in a melancholic way, because it was a way to escape being bullied. Yeah. But like I think of like when I was a kid, one of the books that really resonated with me was The Chronicles of Narnia, like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Absolutely.
The biggest thing that captured my imagination is like you just open this wardrobe and all of a sudden there's a woods, like this whole other land with like witches and wizards and fauns and talking lions and stuff like that. Like it blew my, I read that in like third grade, I think. It blew like my third grade mind when I read that book. And so it kind of reminds me of that thing. I feel like kids really love, especially maybe bullied kids, right? Like they're just like a world that is parallel to your own, but something that you can escape into when you need to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something that's so cool about sci-fi, fantasy, fiction, video games. I think that's, I don't know, that's just something that's always been really, really powerful for me. And it's not something that goes away even when you get older, really. Like some of it melts away, but like other parts of it just kind of morph into new things. Like verse two on this track is like the kid's grown up and he's going through like heartbreak and kind of this like depressing time. And he finds the fairy fountain again. And I think that that was like, I just really wanted to write. When I was thinking about where to go after verse one, I was like, what do I do next? And I was like, oh, well, Ocarina of Time, like Link,
young Link pulls and out adult
the
Link.
Master Sword and he Dude. Becomes adult Link and the world's even worse.
Dude, that's you know what's eerie though? He pulls out that sword and then all of a sudden there's like zombies everywhere and it's eerily similar to the virus we got going on right now, right? Totally. COVID, totally. Right? Oh my goodness.
But you know, he dealt with it. So
he did. So let me ask you this real quick. Just thinking about that, like, are there any scenes in games, just the way you kind of described it, how like the fairy fountain is your respite from mm-hmm. the chaos of the world. Mm-hmm. Are there any specific areas in games? Can be any game. It could be Zelda, anything, but like where you can't help but like just love every time you're there. It could be a single screen, like just something that for some reason it's just so peaceful. Maybe the artwork was so peaceful to look at, maybe the story element, maybe the story at that moment was hit you right at your core and it like it really resonated with you. But is there like a scene or like a screen or just some area in a game where it's just like if you could, you would want to vacation there or you would want to revisit that a thousand times to get that same emotion back that you did the first time?
Yeah, I got two. One is Ocarina of Time, Gerudo Valley.
Okay.
I remember when I stepped into that level. Oh my god, I felt like I heard the music, that little Spanish guitar. Mm-hmm. I was like, "What is this place?" And I think I found it out of order. Like I was just wandering around Hyrule Field, and I ended up like in the start of Gerudo Valley. And I was like, what is this? And like, it jumped off and Link went into this diving motion and like dived into the river. I had never seen anything like that in a video game. It was.
Oh my goodness.
Well, so I want to go there. I want a vacation there for sure.
So what's your second one then?
My second one is Star Road from Super Mario RPG.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
You played that one?
I have played that. Yeah, I like that game.
One of my favorite games of all time, especially growing up. And there's a level where they go to this like blue mountain and there's these glowing stars and you can like listen to people's like the idea was like when people wish upon a star, the wishes go to Star Mountain. And so you can go up to these like stars and like you hear this, you listen to this wish that's like, I wish I could be strong like my brother Mario.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's Luigi. Luigi's wishing.
Blows your little kid mind.
Yeah.
That I love. Isn't it great as an adult where you go back and you think on those moments? You're like, wow, that was actually super inventive and deep for a kid's game.
Yeah.
Like the idea of a mountain where everyone's prayers and dreams go to. Like that's wild. When you wish upon a star, where they all go to. I love it when artists and like storytellers are able to reconceptualize something that like it's a common day occurrence, like wishing upon a star, or like some type of whimsical thing that people do, and find some really fun, interesting story way of describing it. For me, real quick, the one I can always think of is right outside the Forest Temple in Ocarina of Time. I don't know why, but that area, like there's that maze right before the Forest Temple. Once you get through that maze and there's the area with the cool little pedestal where you can play the Minuet of Forest or whatever, a Minute of Forest.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
For some reason, that area I loved. I think because as like a kid, I had a crush on Saria.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I did though.
Yeah. I mean, if you were a kid, you know, you were either... If you were a boy or whatever, if you like girls growing up as a kid, you were either a Zelda fan or you were a Saria fan or like
or if you the like the older
Lon for those the girls.
Oh, Mylon. Mylon?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, or if you liked older women, Impa.
Or Impa. Oh yeah.
But for me, it's that I don't know why. I really like that area. Anyway,
that's a good pick. Yeah, I love that.
But it just I don't know. I love that type of. I love areas in games where it's like, for some reason, this place feels like home to me, and I don't know why. It feels comfortable. Anyway, we'll move on to the next song. The next song we have here is Time, by Super Smack featuring D&D Sluggers. He has done a lot of stuff with Mega Ran. I've listened to a lot of his stuff with Mega Ran as well, and he does some great stuff. I haven't listened to any of his solo stuff, but before we get into it, would you have any suggestions for me to check out D&D?
Absolutely. So any of his music is great. I'll give you two. He has an album that he did 10 years ago. He's about to celebrate the 10 year anniversary of it, called This Album Is a Party. That album is great. And there's a song on there called Very, Very Direct. And that song is just very, very, hits me very deeply each time. It's just a beautiful song.
It's called This Album Is a Party.
Yep. Yep.
All right. I'm going to write that down real quick. And actually,
his other one is it's only on Bandcamp, so you gotta go to Bandcamp to find it, but you know, you can just listen to it there. And it's called This City Will Break You, I believe. And it is a cyberpunk, not the game cyberpunk, but like cyberpunk genre, like Neo Tokyo, that kind of cyberpunk.
Okay.
It's inspired by that kind of genre. That's a great album too. He just came out with that last year.
All right, so let's move on to the next track on our list. It is Time featuring D&D Sluggers.
Drawers opening for the first time in 12 years. I take a look inside. Found an album that you left. Scrapbooks and silly, I didn't quite appreciate at the time. These things you made were sweet. A ticket stub to the Battle of the Bands, a corsage from a last school dance. Words you wrote cause you couldn't tell. The carpet we were lying on, the burnt CD kept playing on, till we went our separate ways.
So that was Time by Super Smack featuring D&D Sluggers. Before I go into my thoughts on it, the thing I want to ask you about is I noticed there's like two separate stories between the two verses. Mm-hmm. The first one seemed like a story about a lost love, and the second one was about like your grandmother and childhood memories. Mm-hmm. So could you talk a little bit about both of those? And was I correct with that?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. You're on it today.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't take a lot of credit for that one. It was very clear like what was going on.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that. Well, that's good to know. It's a different songwriting style, actually, that I'm playing around with on this one. So I said that like I wanted to experiment with a different vibe. That also meant a couple things. One was that Neon Red was really wordy in a good way. Like I did a lot of complex wordplay, you know, a lot of fast raps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't counted it, but if you took a word count of Neon Red, it'd be pretty high. And I wanted Neon Blue to be the opposite. I wanted to get better at like saying more with less. And I think this song is where I tried to do that the most, where I'm just like, let me be really careful with the words so that I don't need to use a lot of words to convey a lot of feeling.
As the opposite of me, I always use too many words to convey everything.
Yeah, me too. That's why I wanted to practice on this song.
It's a good song, man. I really liked it. This one specifically, it reminds me, there's a saying, and I learned this from a different band. I might have mentioned to you them before, the Midnight. They kind of do like a, they're like a synth wave type of pop band. You might actually really like them. On their Bandcamp, in their description, it says there's a Japanese term, mano no aware, and it basically means the sad beauty of seeing time pass, the aching awareness of impermanence.
Whoa.
Right?
Whoa.
And I feel like that describes the vibe of this song so well, where it's like you're kind of looking back fondly on some of these, but there's still a little bit of melancholy because it's like...
Yep.
Specifically one hit me was the part where you're talking about where you're saying about your grandmother, and I'm sorry, I feel bad for asking this, but what language were you singing in there?
That's a great question. That language is Tagalog. It's also called Filipino for short, but it's the national language of the Philippines.
Okay.
Yeah, my family's Filipino American, and it had always been a goal of mine. I was like, oh, I want to like rap in Tagalog one day. And I never imagined I would like be singing in Tagalog first. But that was a huge thing that made me happy about this song. And then especially right now, we're recording this in March and kind of a lot of the zeitgeist is like the hate crimes against Asian Americans in this country has really kind of taken a spotlight in a way that is kind of long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is, it's not just about being in the news, but it's about being in popular consciousness and being in media and being in music and movies and TV. And like, I think just better representation and inclusion, and just honestly, just like telling more stories or hearing more from Asian American creatives,
mm-hmm.
is a big part of like this larger thing that I think will help make life better for a lot of Asian Americans, and frankly everyone, because it'll make life better for everyone the more that we can do that. So that was like just a huge, just like icing on the cake for me to be able to really release a song where I'm just taking, it's not even one line, it's almost like half the verse, right, which is in
another
language. And that's exactly what I wanted, is for people to be like, what language is that? And I'm like, well, let me tell you, this is a little bit about my family. And so I wanted to share that here because that's a big part of who I am that I had not really touched on in any of my previous music.
And especially now, like you said, it's very like we're only a couple weeks out, not even like a week out from the mass shooting in Atlanta, mm-hmm. Of all the different massage parlors that got just that horrible tragedy. So, and I agree with you, it's really important to have more voices in general. I mean, Asian American people of color in general, but like, it's sad that it feels like just at least once or twice a year, it's just trading off which group is getting shot at. Yeah, but all right, that got really dark there. Let's get off.
No, it's true. And so that's why I think it's just like the first time that we think about a particular group of people, for example, Asians, right? It would be nice if the first time that like it's like, oh, I haven't thought about Asians in a while until they get shot. You know, like, that's a bummer. But like, getting to put our stories into art, like music, movies, video games, like, that's like just a good way to just kind of remind people who we are and that we're people too, and that we just have these lives, and we have grandmothers and they sing to us when we were babies, you know, just like to kind of humanize us. And I think that that's something that art is really good at doing.
Now, what are you actually singing in that verse?
Yeah, so that is actually an old little like lullaby that my grandma would sing to me. And the literal translation is just like, oh, little baby. Oh,
that's really sweet.
Yeah, ang batang is a is the like the baby, and then maliit is small, small baby, and that's it.
That's really cute.
Yeah,
that actually hit me really hard because last year my grandmother passed away, and so
I'm sorry about that.
Everyone has to go through it at some point. It just sucks when it happens. So it, like, listening to that, I was like, and that mano no aware term, like, it really fit that whole mood of, and it kind of reminded me back to a little bit of Space or Fairy Fountain a little bit too, because it was, it's that melancholic feel. Mm-hmm. And I really like this song, and I love how you incorporated the Zelda feel, like the Ocarina of Time, like menu music, like that. And I like at the very end, there's a little bit of a medley going on. Like, it was a little couple other, like Kakariko Village, I heard a little bit of, different tracks from Ocarina of Time I heard, which I thought was really cool. It was a really good track, man. And it's, I like that you sang in Filipino. I'm not going to try to butcher how it's properly called, because I know I'm not going to say it correctly. But I like that because it adds an interesting flavor to it that, like, you don't, like, you, like you were saying, we just don't hear that stuff at all.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's my buddy D&D Sluggers at the end on guitar. That's this is one of the few tracks that I've done. I did another one, Choose, also had acoustic instrumentation. This is one of the few tracks I've done that mixes in some acoustic instrumentation also. He's an amazing musician, also a great singer. Like you said, he's done stuff with Mega Ran. But I got to meet him. He opened for us on tour in North Carolina in Chapel Hill, fall 2019. And I heard him play and I was just like, this is an incredible musician. And he turned out to be an awesome person and a good friend too. So I was like, I have to work with you. And I was like, can you make me a Ocarina of Time track? And he was like, you mean something like this? And I was like, exactly.
It's legit. That there's, I like all the songs so far, but so far this one and actually the next one we're going to talk to about, I think, are my two favorites.
All right.
So the next track is Love Like You, featuring Neku. So this track, actually, you know what? I'm going to save it until after we listen to it. So let's dive into Love Like You.
If I could begin to be half of what you think of me, I could do about anything. I could even learn how to love. When I see the way you act, wondering when I'm coming back, I could do about anything. I could even learn how to love like you. Thought I might be bad now. I'm sure that it's true, 'cause I think you're so good and I'm nothing like you. Look at you go, I just adore you, and I wish that I knew what makes you think I'm so special. If I could begin to do something that does right by you, I would do about anything. I would even learn how to love like you. Love like you.
That was Love Like You featuring Neku. So this one, talk a little bit about this. We talked off mic about this, and there, you told me something I didn't know, which I guess I probably should have. I'm a little out of the loop on cartoons, I guess. So
yeah.
Let's talk. So go ahead, talk a bit about this.
Yeah, so this is a song called Love Like You, and it's a cover. The song is originally from the closing credits of an amazing show called Steven Universe, which... Yeah, probably most people have heard about, maybe not everyone's seen. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. The songwriter, who's also the singer on the original recording, who is also the person who created the show, her name is Rebecca Sugar, and they are just incredible. One of the most incredible writers, imaginations, I think, of like, honestly, of our modern time. So this song is one that, so I don't do covers like ever. Like I like writing my own original music. But I was jamming out with my buddy Neku, who actually produced a couple of the tracks on Neon Red. He produced Label of Love and Everybody Got Game. And Neku does video game and cartoon remixes. And his music is super, super dancey. It's awesome. Go check him out. On you know all platforms, and we were jamming out, and we were like, oh, you know, it'd be kind of fun to like do something like chill and different, and so we did this like ballad slow version of Love Like You, just in his living room. It was one of the few times, because we actually collaborate mostly over the internet, and I just happened to be in town where he was, and so we were hanging out and. We recorded it just kind of off the cuff, and it ended up being one of the, and there was no audience, right? We were just playing for ourselves, and it was just one of those things where it was like, whoa, that was a really good that was a really good jam. So I kept the file, and when I was putting together the EP, I was like, wait, this would go perfect on here. This is just like a perfect vibe. Like, I'll put it in the middle of the EP, and yeah, so I was able to get a license for it, a cover license, which was I was really grateful for. A lot of people cover this song. It's kind of like becoming like a nerd standard, if there is such yeah. a thing.
No, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, like Jump Up Superstar from mm-hmm. Mario Odyssey.
Oh my
like
gosh.
A new like nerd standard music. So you'll hear a bunch of other versions of this, but I think ours is pretty different, which I really like. I love the, he was playing on his keyboard, but it sounds like a 16-bit like accordion almost.
Mm-hmm.
And we took it really at our own pace. And like, if you tried to put a metronome to our track, like it wouldn't work because we're like going slow and then we speed up and then we go slow again. And, you know, it just has this really organic feel. The song is just really special to me just because I just think it's so beautiful. And the lyrics are just, they're about loving, to me anyway, my interpretation is about loving either someone or something so much that you just want to be whatever you can for that person or for that thing. And I just thought that was a really, really, just a really poignant message that I was honored to get to cover on this EP.
So this was the recording that you guys did like forever ago, and you just threw it, you just mastered it a bit and threw it on there.
Yeah, just mixed it and mastered it. You know, worked with an amazing, I should give a shout out to my audio engineers. Bill Beats did the mixing and mastering on this one and a couple of others. And then Douglas Wydick was my other sound engineer, who did an awesome job mixing and mastering Time, and then also the next one that you'll hear. Bill Beats did the other ones, but they're both amazing engineers. And Bill Beats took this like live recording I was like, I want people to still be able to tell that it's a live recording, but like, can you make it sound good? And he did a great job.
I love that it's a live recording. I remember when I first listened to it, so I asked you off mic, I'm like, was this meant to sound like it was like not done in a studio? And I didn't mean it in a shitty way. I just meant like it still sounded good. It sounded, and I mean this as a compliment, it sounded like a YouTube video, like someone covering a song on YouTube. Mm-hmm. it kept a homey, it gave it a homey kind of a vibe type of thing. I don't know how else to describe it, but I had never heard the song before. I've never watched Steven Universe. So when you told me that it was a cover, I was like, oh, that's interesting. So it's kind of cool to hear why you wanted to include it on this EP. And it fits the mood of the whole mood that you're going for, of this kind of more introspective EP than, like you said, like the Neon Red is very much like, look at me, I'm here. Not in like a shitty, like selfish way, but just like, you know, this is who I am. Like, hello. It was a calling card. And then Neon Blue is like, this is who I am. Like, this is more who I want you to know who I am type of thing. I like this. I like this cover a lot, man. Like this is the song specifically that I got that musical theater vibe to. Yeah. I could hear it. I was like, this is like so close to being a show tune, but it's not quite there yet. So, all right. Our final track for Neon Blue. That's it. Can you believe it? We're at the final track already. It is Space by Super Smack. Once again, like I say every single time, by Super Smack, featuring Anime Vivi, produced by Douglas Wittick.
And the bright smile, it was a bright eyes and a wide smile, rhymes written in wild style. Learn these rap tricks back into Kingdom of Turnstiles. I earned the title of Switch because my skills were quite versatile. And erstwhile, 30 years, I landed on this blue globe. Eyes on the horizon, looking like it was a new hope. I'ma miss this place, bit cliche, but it's true though. You made me feel at home, just like a bowl of mom's menudo. One last chance, take a glance at all these things that I have built with my two hands. Time passes on and space expands, but I saved the final dance. Here we go, coast to coast, atmosphere to zero G's. The seeds of Super Smack were sown by a group of hero G's. Just like then, I'm taking now a leap for deep humanity. Peace, thanks, and farewell, gravity. Take me to space, take me to space. It's been a while since I've been running my race. I fell for this planet, it's not like I planned it. Now it kinda hurts to say goodbye, but I gotta say, you made me this way. And maybe someday I'll come back to play a show to say thank you. You know that I praise you. I got you smack dab in my heart. Take me to space. I truly wish I could deliver this in person. Instead, I will deliver it in verse. Shouts to the Uke shop, where I got my first shot at rocket. To sign up sheets at open mics from Queens to the New Yorkian. To the homies down the underground, North Coast, bring it in. Shouts to the Asian American comics who gave me comfort in my skin. To the sold out home crowd on a 16-city tour. Fans and friends from every phase of life at the Arlene's grocery door. Nice. The sweetest chapters that we write will end. I'd like to send a signal out to all my friends. Whichever planet you live in, I hope you keep on keeping. Take me to space, take me to space. It's been a while since I've been running my race. I fell for this planet, it's not like I planned it. Now it kinda hurts to say goodbye, but I gotta say, you made me this way. And maybe someday I'll come back to play a show to say thank you. You know that I praise you. I got you smack dab in my heart. Take me to space.
All right, and that was our final track, Space, by, once again, Super Smack, featuring Anime Vivi and produced by Douglas Wittick. So my first thing I wanted to lead off for this final track, man, is I love this song. Like I there's a story behind this that we were talking about off mic that I'm excited for you to tell the listeners about. But the first thing I gotta say is I love the whole kind of message of this, where it's learning that you're having to leave something behind that helped you grow for so long. Something that, and it's a bittersweet goodbye, where it's a lot of where nostalgia comes from, where you're very cognizant of like, I don't know if I'm ever going to come back to this place again and be able to have those same experiences again. And it's not a melancholic way of looking at it. You're just kind of like, it's just pure gratitude. It's just nothing but love for it. And I really enjoyed the whole vibe of this track.
Oh, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. Really appreciate that. I love this track too. it is one that I'm really proud of. You got that message. I think is definitely there, and it's definitely was one of the harder things to put into a song, I think, compared to like other songs that I've written. This whole EP, I think, is a lot of things that were a little bit of a challenge songwriting wise, but it's a challenge that I think hopefully ended up definitely for the better.
Well, I think you say in the summoner you're 30 now, right? So you're in your I'm assuming that's correct. You're in your early 30s, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Neon Red, once again, that came out what 2017?
2019.
2019 yeah. Was it 2019?
Most of the songs for that were written by like late 2018 though.
So like we're looking at like a 3-year time difference, and there is a big difference. This sounds fucking cliche, but it's really true. Like when you're mid 20s to your early 30s, even though there's not a lot of years, there's a lot of like not quite midlife crisis is a strong term, but it's a lot more just realizing that like you're not a kid anymore. And it's a really weird realization. And I feel like Neon Blue, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, if that's not what you're going for, but I feel like in Neon Blue, you poured a lot of that emotion of realizing you're growing up. Like, even though you're an adult, you've been an adult since you're 18, but like you're growing up now. And Neon Blue is kind of like that goodbye message to what Neon Red was. Neon Red was your crazy younger years. And then Neon Blue is like, well, now I'm having, like, it doesn't mean that life's over and doesn't mean you're not going to have crazy times and you can have throw parties, but it's different now.
I think so. I think there's definitely, the way I like to think of it is not really like young versus old or immature and then mature. Cause I think I view life as like, I don't know, this gets like philosophical, but I think it's like, I view life as like chapters or seasons. And I think, just turning the page from what I did on my first EP, like I didn't want to retread that ground. I wanted to explore like a different kind of aspect of who I am and share that. And I think Neon Blue definitely gave some cool opportunity to do that. So yeah, it's just a lot more reflective. I think whether it's a lot more reflective of the impact that a place can have on you. And space is written about a few different things. It's back to this kind of storytelling aspect again, where I'm talking in the third person again, right? The first line is Captain Smack with the wide eyes and the bright smile. Or was it bright eyes and a wide smile? Rhymes written in wild style. And so I'm like imagining myself as captain of this ship. This beat is inspired by a track from Pikmin.
Yes. And
so it's like I'm Captain Olimar. And I'm like about to go in the hop in the SS Dolphin and like fly around to like the next planet, you know? And I think that I'd imagine that, I don't know, we don't really get a whole deep character study of Olimar, right? But if I was Olimar, I would imagine that like as exciting as it would be to get to explore so many different planets. If you get to be on a planet where you form a really strong connection with it, you know, where that experience shapes you, it's always really going to be bittersweet to have to leave it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt about, I started writing this song about a very specific thing, which was leaving New York City. I've lived in New York for like 8 years. Last year, I moved out, and this song was about that. But it became a lot more, a lot broader. It's like kind of about New York City still. I talk about specific things in New York, right? Like specific places where I did I went from open mics, mm-hmm. getting started as a songwriter and a rapper and as a musician, and then building up to like where I'm playing sold out shows on a tour that I've done to all these different cities. And I'm passing through my hometown and seeing just like my home crowd turn up and that feeling, that rush that I get, and all my favorite things. So a lot of my favorite things about the city. And it's funny, there's like another through line to one of the tracks on Neon Red, which is Choose. And that is also a love letter to New York City, mm-hmm. but it's a different kind of love letter, right? Because now this is almost like a love letter and sort of like a farewell letter. And that's not to say that I won't, like, I'm doing a show in New York, like, pretty soon, actually, so I'll be back there. But it's just, like, acknowledging that seasons will change. And then sometimes it doesn't even involve a geographic change, right? You could be in the same place, but maybe you don't change, but the place changes, or vice versa. And so it's just kind of reconciling with the fact that at some point we all get to a point where we have to turn the page on one chapter and start a new one. Mm-hmm. And how can we honor the chapter that we just finished? And that's I think a lot of what this song is aiming for. So it started out as like this thing about me in New York, but it's about so much more. It's really about like every place I go to that I have to leave, whether it's a physical space or like a metaphorical space or like, you know, a career that I leave behind in order to start my next career, that sort of thing. So it's just about that transition and moving out into the next beyond, and like being kind of unsure about what that's going to hold, but still embracing that mystery, like the mystery of space,
almost being right? confident about the unknown because of the lessons you learned from the places you've been. You reference Choose. It's a good comparison, because Choose is very much like your love for New York, but in the moment of it, like you're in the middle of it, and you realize how much you love this city or this place, or like you said, like this space that you're in, and you realize it. So you're writing it. You wrote a song about it. Now space is literally acknowledging like, all right, I love that place, but I'm moving on from it. So now I'm somewhere else. That's a really, once again, just the yin and yang of Neon Blue and Red. I think you even referenced, don't you reference that somehow in Neon Red somewhere? I forget what it is. There's a track somewhere that you reference yin and yang, and I'm blanking on it.
Yeah. In Everybody Got Game.
That's what it is.
I've got a line where I say,
for all you listeners at home, he's literally going through all the lyrics in his head right now.
I am an artist. When I get pent up competitive energy, here's what I do. Forget about people who famous and don't deserve it. I just focus on the ones that do. My friends, my peers, my heroes, my mentors. That's where I'm pointing my energy to. There was such a thing as a healthy rivalry. Let me describe it to you. Pen and Ryu, Red and Blue. Ooh. That's the original palette town and the colors of my jacket too. It's that neon yin yang harmony where inspiration comes through. There it is.
There it is.
I have to get a running head start.
I feel like so much of rapping is just muscle memory of the lyrics. So it's like starting in the middle. It's like, well, I'm used to literally all the other exercises I did up until then, type of thing. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with the yin and yang stuff, because like Choose is literally about making a decision, right? It's about what you can control. And I think that like the things that we can control are so important, right? But as I think, especially as we've seen over the past like year, there's always going to be things that we can't control and we can't foresee. And life's going to take us in weird twists and turns. I think that's like everyone who I've talked to over the past year. It's like story of everyone's lives right now, right? And so I think space kind of acknowledges that, like, yeah, I'm making this decision to move on, but I also don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be things that like are that pop up, right? Like even when I say I fell for this planet, it's not like I planned it, right? That's like acknowledging that sometimes like serendipity just happens. And I think that's something that I definitely wanted to explore more on this record.
In a not so subtle transition, there's a story behind this track too, of how it finally came out. Like there was you had to switch some stuff up, right? No pun intended with the switch thing there.
Right. Yeah, I kind of love this story actually, because it's in a weird way it kind of ironically supports the theme of the song, which is I had this track basically done 6 months ago, and I hit some licensing issues, and so I had to go back and rework the entire instrumental from the ground up, and that was a bummer at the time for sure. But I talked to a lot of other artists, and pretty much especially in hip hop, I don't think there's a single hip hop artist like a hip hop artist who's, you know, a little bit more further into the careers who I've talked to that hasn't hit on licensing issues at some point.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad we caught it before the thing came out. We resolved it. Now everything's all squared away. But what it gave me was the opportunity to, first off, it was a challenge, right? How to remake this song in a way that, you know, I couldn't use the original set of tools I was using. And number one, I got a shout out to my producer, Doug Leidick, over at Sweet Tea Studios.
Oh man, I've been saying his name wrong the whole time. I apologize, Doug. Good.
Yeah, and he just did an incredible job. I think it's even better than the beat that he made on this. It's so much more immersive. And he added these elements of like indie rock elements with like deep, like vibrating bass. And he really, really leaned into this like reimagining of this like Pikmin sound, which I love. And then what also happened was in this time period of 6 months where we were remaking the song, I got brought on to the show by my friends over at Ongaku Overdrive. They did a virtual show called Virtual Ongaku.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in May, and it was a they decided to make this show a fundraiser for Stop Asian Hate Charities, which was a cause
I watched that.
Really, really important to me. I think we've talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
And that getting to be on that show as an Asian American artist, the fact that they brought me on was really cool. And then they also brought on a few other artists, including Megaran, the Megas, and Lauren the Flute, and Anime Vivi, who I hadn't met before. Anime Vivi's awesome Asian cellist who does covers of video game and anime music. And I heard Anime Vivi's music, and immediately after the show, I think it was later that night, I DM'd them and was like, do you wanna hop on this track? and if I hadn't had to remake this song, that wouldn't have happened. And Anime Vivi was totally down. We sent some files back and forth, some ideas back and forth. And to get to have real live, the opening of this track, when you hear the strings, that's like a human being playing the strings, and I love that. I think there's a few tracks on this, on the Neon Blue, that have live like human instrumentation, and you just get a different quality compared to the pure digital production. I like mixing both. And what ended up, I didn't even plan it this way, but what ended up happening with the song is the cello kind of becomes the sound of earth because it's being played by a human, right? So it's like you have this very organic sound, and then you have these like spacey video game beats, and that represents kind of what's outside, like in outer space, right?
Yeah. So
the song opens and you hear the cello, and then all of a sudden you, at the end of the intro, like whatever, 20 seconds into the song, you hear this like rising, like whoosh, and that's like the spaceship kind of taking off, and the cello goes away because now we're out in space.
Oh.
And then you hear the cello come back again during the first chorus. what I'm talking about. I fell for this planet. It's not like I planned it. Now it kind of hurts to say goodbye. Literally, as I'm saying the line, now it kind of hurts to say goodbye. That's when the cello comes back. And then it's there.
That's
for the rest
clever.
Of the song. And it's like looking back. It's like Captain Olimar is in the spaceship. And he's getting ready to go on his next adventure. But he's also looking back on the planet with all the Pikmin, which if you play the game, I don't know, spoiler alert. Do we do spoiler? We do spoiler.
You can spoil it. It's fine.
There's like strong hints that the Pikmin planet is actually like a post-apocalyptic version of Earth.
Like
canned food. It's like canned, like,
yeah,
like
yeah,
Campbell's soup can, like on the ground, right? So like Olimar is like flying off his next adventure, but like, you know that he had, you know that he had a formative experience on Earth. You know he had a for, you know he's gonna miss this Pikmin. So like that's like me looking back, and I don't know, this interplay between the digital production that Doug did and then the live strings that Anime Vivi added. I'm like, I am over the moon that we had the licensing issue 6 months ago, because none of that would have gotten to happen. And the version of like the version of this song that you're hearing on this record is not the version that I originally intended, but it is like absolutely the version that I'm really, really happy with. That's going to go out in the wild.
And it's crazy. You mentioned before how a lot of not the planet you, or basically the serendipitous meeting, not what you expected, but what you needed and wanted. And this was literally the production of the song is a reflection of the lyrics just by pure happenstance, which falls once again into the theme of lyrics.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
That's fantastic. I love this song, dude. Like I was telling you off mic, I'm probably going to be listening to Neon Blue for quite some time right now. I mentioned before I listened to a ton of Neon Red. Neon Blue is going to be on my, it's going to be on my playlist in between all my podcast listening, of course. Go support podcasters, friends. All right, so that's Neon Blue, everybody. That is the full EP. Smack, dude, thank you so much again for letting me do this. This was so fun,
dude,
to get to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me on. This is great.
It was so much fun. And for, I guess, a couple of things, where can the people find you? And also, you just had besides Neon Blue that just came out, about a month-ish ago, over a month and a half ago, I guess, you had a track with Megaran, the legend himself, Megaran.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So you can find all my music at Supersmack on social media at SupersmackRaps. I'm most active on Facebook and Instagram, and then YouTube and Spotify as well. So definitely give me a follow on Spotify, if you use Spotify or YouTube. That's the main places where I release my music these days. Feel free to connect with me, send me a DM if you're finding out about me from the episode, and I love to connect with people and hear about where they're discovering my music. The song that you were talking about, it was a collaboration that I got to do with Megaran, who's a friend of mine, also based here in Phoenix, and we did a track called BXG, Black X Gold, or Black and Gold, and it's about solidarity and kind of solidarity, mutual understanding, and just support and love across the Black American and Asian American communities, which is a message that is really important to Megaran and myself, as he's a Black artist, I'm an Asian American artist. It's something that is really important to us, it's something that we've talked about, and we realize, hey, it's like not really something that gets talked about in our branch of music very often. And so we decided to make a track about it. We released it, and it kind of popped off, actually.
Like, I was going to say, you guys have been getting a bunch of press with it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Medium, Rolling Stone India. There's a blog in Japan that's doing a write-up, like not just America, but internationally too. There's like
interest
in
this
track. So. That's really cool. And I just saw Megaran last week on his birthday, which was cool. We were talking about how excited we were that song came out. And yeah.
That's so awesome.
You can check that out. That's on those platforms. And you can also listen to Neon Red, which is, we've obviously talked about a lot on the show already, kind of the prequel to Neon Blue. So that's out there for you as well. So yeah, if anyone wants to reach out, my email is smack@supersmackraps.com, and my website is supersmackraps.com if anyone would like to reach out more directly.
All right. As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can email me, stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. You can, if you want to support the show, the two best ways to do that is A, give it a rating, 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. That honestly is the most helpful to me. It helps get more people to find the show. But if you want to support it monetarily, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. Even just $1 a month will help the show grow. And in all honesty, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. The rewards aren't that good right now, so I'm going to have to revamp that. So if you want to support the show for just out of the goodness of your heart, that's honestly the best I can offer right now. I need to work on getting some good tangible rewards for everybody. So
go support the show. 5-star review. Still loading podcast.
That's why I always like to do the thing that is free for anyone, just a 5-star rating interview. That honestly helps a ton.
This is Super Smack telling you to go do that right now.
I'll also give you the Smackdown, but I'm and then the most important shout out, of course, is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care at hospitals and children's hospitals. So if you want to go support them, they actually just had a really successful fundraiser with a Twitch streamer. The Twitch streamer raised like $2,000 for them in a day, which is fantastic. Wow. So that's all going to go to donating games and consoles to the hospitals. And actually, shout out to my friend Smash Brothers Gaming, just because he sponsored the month of December over with Geek Guilt. And he also donated 5 games in a giveaway where he gave 5 games away to one of my Instagram followers. And he donated those another copy of those same 5 games to the Bit by Bit Foundation, which is really awesome of him. So, go give him a follow. But anyway, bitbybitfoundation.org. And that will do it for this episode of Still Loading. Smack, once again, thank you very much.
Peace. Thank you for having me.
And I will see you all next time.